certain parts of Scripture that I just don't like. I wish they weren't there. They're a challenge to faith. What? Now you're right, that's God's challenge. Hey, I've just delivered myself from having to love people that are unlovable. Hi everybody, this is Martin Zender. As I've said before, when you ask somebody to pray for those in power, I'm getting a little ahead of myself now. It's very difficult to do, and we search something within ourselves to produce this love for people that seem so unlovable. And when you look within and can't find it, don't condemn yourself. This is what you do. You throw up your hands and you say, well, I can't live it out unless God puts it in. I'm quoting one of my favorite teachers from days gone by, Ray Prinzing. He was a kingdom teacher, and he talked like this, and he said, how can you live out love when God doesn't put it in? God has to put it in for it to come out. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, so on and so forth. If God does not put a spirit of love in you, it will not produce the fruit of love. And so you can't hurry. The body of Christ, according to Christ, via Paul, grows according to the growth of God. And I take that verse always to have to do with the pace of the thing. The growth of God is not at the pace we would wish it. We want to grow fast. We want to hurry up and grow. But what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, I plant, Apollos waters, and God causes the growth. Do you see a process there? It's a process of realization. Don't kick yourself for not knowing these things. Don't kick yourself for today not being able to do them. Don't kick yourself if you complain today about government, or if you're frustrated that things aren't working out for you. Because we all have those moments of humanity. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He was a prophet during the time of Babylonian exile. So was Daniel. These people were contemporaries, Jeremiah and Daniel. And they were troubled. Remember, Daniel was troubled when he heard Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Jeremiah wept at the bottom of a well. These people suffered in the era they lived in. So just because you have an expectation doesn't mean you don't suffer. Don't kick yourself for not being able to pirouette through a wicked eon. Even Jesus Christ lamented over Israel when he said, Israel, Israel, I've longed to gather you to myself as a mother hen gathers her brood, yet you would not. And he weeps over the city. Goes up on a hill, looks over it, and he weeps. He knows what has to happen, but he's human. Don't rob yourself of being human. God will give it to you in his good time. You can keep praying for it. I'm not telling you not to pray for it. But I'm telling you that it's not going to happen before it's meant to happen. Now, I've been told, yes, Martin, you're a little bolder, but you're still holding back. It's true. I'm not my full self here. I'm still somewhat intimidated. I know that's hard for you to believe, that I, Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, am somewhat intimidated by the fact that I could be being listened into as I speak. However, this we overcome every day here at Broward College in Davie, Florida. I'm going to be in Florida until the 15th of April, which is coming up fast, isn't it? Yes, it is. So thank you for being with me in my travels. I'm not spending much money here. I'm living frugally. The grace of the saints is sustaining me. And I thank God for everyone here who has been so accommodating to me. The saints, and even people who aren't saints, tend to take a shine to me. I try to be civil. I pray for people. And remember, folks, we're living letters. We are living letters. People look at us, and let's let them see something different about our lives. Let's let other people fret and fume. And even though we may do it occasionally, let the balance of our lives be lived in thanksgiving to God. Be thankful for everything that you have. I'm sorry, but you are living in a wonderful country. Other countries, not so great. We have many privileges and blessings here. And so take a look at the small things you have, the running water, hot water, food in your refrigerator, a phone. And it's so easy to take these things for granted. Don't. They're blessings from God. So we have a letter from Jeremiah written to the exiles in Babylon to help them get through. And it's the Lord Almighty himself speaking to all those he carried into Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce. In other words, folks, you're going to be in a hostile environment, but I am the bubble around you. I am your shield. I'm your buckler. I'm your provider. Just like Israel in the wilderness, God miraculously provided food for them. So we are to go about our business, but always straining against the bonds. I recommend that. You know, I always have and I always will. Don't get too comfortable, but do your thing. Build houses, settle down. Now, I'm going to tell you this, settle down. But again, it's a settling down of spirit, but without telling you to settle in. Settle down without settling in. You can settle down and accept your lot without surrendering to it. Because they still prayed to God in Babylon, Israel did. God was still their God. And the God in heaven is still our God. I don't know if you've ever heard me tell the story of when I woke up in 1992 to find out that Bill Clinton was president. It was a shock to me. I may have shared this with you before. Many of you are new listeners coming in all the time. Come on in. I woke up one day in 1992 and this ex-pot-smoking womanizer, saxophone-playing Saturday Night Live personality was now president of the United States, and I felt... This is just my personal feelings. You may disagree with my politics. You're certainly welcome to. I felt that I was being delivered into a foreign administration. There seemed to be a turn with Bill Clinton in that the old-time presidents, the war heroes, the stately people, the statesmen, the somber, serious people who can look into the camera, address the nation in tones that are portent, power, full of gravitas. And now we were hip and cool, and Obama's followed suit. And the weight, the majesty of the presidency seems to have changed. There's a shift. Now kids are getting into power. People with no experience were losing something, and it's prophesied to happen. But on this day, I felt like I was being delivered into a foreign hand. It's all foreign. I realized that. It seemed more foreign than other possibilities. So I remember that morning, I looked into the heavens, and God whispered to me, not in an audible voice, but I just thought this. Let me put it that way. Look at that. Look up at the heavens. It's the same stars. The same constellations, the stars have not moved. And if you look at this planet from outer space, you are not going to see political boundaries. You will see rivers, you will see oceans, you will see mountains. In some cases, rivers are political boundaries. But you don't see the states, do you? You see one big happy family. But the stars were the same. The Earth, in its essence, was the same. The only thing that changed was this arbitrary man-made political alignment. And they come and they go. And they wash over us like the sea washes over the shore. Gave you that analogy earlier this week. The sea is a type of the tumultuous realm of humanity where administrations change. There are coups. There are, in some countries, they have violent takeovers of the government. We have an orderly takeover. Things change. The only thing sure in this life is change. Thus, the sea. And your shore seems to be being eroded day by day. Change, change, change. And yet, look up. That's a great place to look. Because when you look up, you see that the stars are fixed. And God does that for a comfort for us. The stars declare his handiwork. Here's a piece of his handiwork. I, the Lord God, do not change. And I believe he has put the stars in the heaven to tell us eloquently eloquently in their silence, in their stability, that he never changes. There are no falling stars. Those are freaking meteorites. Don't lose your head over it. A star fell. No, the stars don't fall. Those are freaking meteorites. Comets, pieces of space dust or rock. The stars do not fall. They are fixed. And how do they stay there? You can give me all the gravitational reasons. The woman I'm living with here in Florida, who's a PhD in physics, she could tell me the physical reasons why those stars stay in place. I prefer at this time, during this broadcast, to take the absolute viewpoint. I see them fixed in place by the hand of God. I will go, thank you very much, to Colossians chapter 1, that by him all things consist, and that all things cohere together because of him, and that there are certain things that never change. I, the Lord God, do not change, but we can't see him. He's invisible, but he has given us a token in the heavens of his immutability and his immovability, and those are the stars. And I looked up at the stars that morning, and they were the same, and the ground under my feet was the same. The only thing that had changed was a political alignment. I didn't like that particular political alignment. You might not like this particular political alignment. Israel did not like being dragged from their homes into a foreign country. That's how I felt. It wasn't a physical dragging. It was a mental dragging. I felt like I'd been transferred. But you know what? No one can do that to you. No one can transfer you, because you are to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to the things of this world and alive to God. And I want you to look at the stars the next time you have a clear day. If you're in Pennsylvania, this might be next month. If you're in Florida, I think tonight we're going to have a clear day. Look up and look at the stars. See it as a token that even though the times of man, during the day of man, will wash over you and wash over you, it need not take away your peace, because you have a stability that the world does not know. I've come around full circle. Now, let that stability in the God who does not change, let that be your apprehension. Let that be the thing you think about, and not the changing powers of man. God help you if you read the newspaper. God help you if you write the newspaper. God help you if you're a newscaster. You have to constantly keep up with things, the changing, the changing, the changing. This word that I am holding in my hand, the scriptures, does not change. Thank God that he has situated me in an occupation that teaches things that do not change. That's why these words I give you from this book tend to peace. They tend to stability, because they don't change. There, I have given you the big picture. I have given you the absolute viewpoint. Now, to close up the week tomorrow, we're going to start getting specific. Specifically, how do we deal? What do we do? Are there things that we can do? Are there things we can put on a list, check off, and say, I have done this? I'm not bringing you back to law. Far from it, friends. I'm bringing you into grace, and I'm bringing you into peace.